Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
On the job, every minute counts. That's why Lowe's now has ProBlock Quick Dry Primer, expertly manufactured by Sherwin-Williams. Engineered for pros to dry fast and go on smooth for virtually flawless results that keep your job moving. It's available in oil and water-based, and getting it is easy. Order online by 2 p.m. and get free same-day delivery right to your job site. Lowe's, we help, you save. Orders placed after 2 p.m. will be delivered next day. Valid in select zip codes. Subject to driver availability. More terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
It's NBA tip-off week, and FanDuel is your home for live betting. So even if you miss the start of the game or want to ride the hot hand, FanDuel has live bets on everything from who will score next to fourth quarter comebacks. Plus, you can even combine your live bets into a same-game parlay for a shot at a bigger payout. However you want to play, now is the perfect time to join, because FanDuel is giving new customers $300 in bonus bets if your first $5 bet wins. So just visit FanDuel.com/sportsfan to sign up today. Play your game with FanDuel, official sports betting partner of the NBA.
Must be 21 plus and present in Virginia. First online real money wager only. $5 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
At Sierra, discover joyous deals on great gifts for everyone on your list. Like cozy slippers, ski gear, fishing poles, bikes, large kayaks, even larger canoes. Whew. Which might lead to another discovery. Wrapping gifts is the only sport you need to stay fit this season. Tis the season to discover great gifts at unexpectedly low prices. Sierra, let's get moving.
This episode is brought to you by State Farm. Listening to this podcast? Smart move. Being financially savvy? Smart move. Another smart move? Having State Farm help you create a competitive price when you choose to bundle home and auto. Bundling. Just another way to save with a personal price plan. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. Prices are based on rating plans that vary by state. Coverage options are selected by the customer. Availability, amount of discounts and savings, and eligibility vary by state.
Anybody, anywhere, anywhere.
It's time to take command with former NFL tight end Logan Paulson.
This pass caught by Paulson, the tight end.
And from 106.7 The Fan, Grant Paulson.
What's up? Welcome in. Take command. Wanted to get you an episode on this bye week Sunday. Figured we could go around the league. And then also look ahead to the Commanders getting back to work and welcoming the Broncos to town for Sunday night football. Logan is out doing some family things this weekend. I am hanging out with you, and I've got my buddy Ben Standig of Substack fame with me. You can check out all of Ben's work on his Substack. Last Man Standig does a really good job covering the Commanders. I always enjoy these bye week days to just take inventory on the rest of the NFL. Low stakes, put your feet up. See how many former Commanders kickers are drilling 55-yarders and just, see what's up.
Yeah, no, I'm with you. This is the rare Sunday that I don't have to be somewhere. So it's been a fun one and to catch up. And yes, the Zane Gonzalez did make a banger from 50. So that's always fun to note.
Two 50-plus-yard field goals today in the end for Zane Gonzalez. I think 54 and 56 for the Falcons.
Two.
Wow. All right. Yeah, he ended up drilling another one. They're both split the uprights with plenty of room to spare. We're going to work our way through the day. So we'll start with the big kicks at 1 o'clock. The Chiefs had to have this game. I don't know where you're at on this, but I thought Kansas City specifically at 5-5 going into this week 11 game, if they lost, they probably weren't going to make the playoffs because they have such bad tie-breaking metrics, including their record in the AFC, that they would have been 5-6. They would have had to win out and run the table to get to 11-6. 10-7 is not going to do it. So to get an AFC win, to get to 6-5, they now have the ability the rest of the way with a little bit of a softer schedule to possibly go, you know, 4-2 and possibly get in. But more than likely, you know, at this point, if they can get to 11-6, which is 5-1 the rest of the way, very plausible, then they're going to get into the playoffs. They were down 20-9 in the fourth quarter in this game. They went on a 56-yard touchdown drive. Then Butker capped an 87-yard drive to send the game to OT. They got a defensive stand and then went on an 81-yard drive to kick a field goal to win it. Mahomes, not very good. Early interception, but did throw for 352 without a touchdown. Kareem Hunt, 30 for 104. What'd you see here?
Well, when the Chiefs forced it to OT, and then when they won in OT, I opened up the windows at my house, and I swear if I listened really closely. I heard crying coming from Foxborough and Buffalo and Denver and all these places. Who are like, you got to be kidding me! Can't you know this is what is this? Jason or Freddy Krueger or whatever. Like, can't you?
They can't be killed.
And the Chiefs, you know, it's the Rudy Tomjanovich. You know, it's the Rudy Tomjanovich. It's the Rudy Tomjanovich line. You know, never underestimate the heart of a champion. I mean, that fourth quarter was a team grinding it out, looking for finding any way they could to keep it going, and they did. I'm a bit surprised that the Chiefs are in this spot. I understand why they were maybe struggling earlier in the season, but you know, when Washington saw them around that point a few weeks ago, it looked like they were, you know, finding their way. Rashee Rice was back. We know the defense is pretty solid. And, you know, they just haven't been able to do enough. That they don't have enough big play offense, which is weird, you know, considering the Mahomes era. But, boy, they just found a way. And kudos to them for doing it. And, yeah, they're still alive, much to the chagrin
of everybody else in the AFC. Well, that's the thing. I mean, yeah, if they lose this game and they don't look like they're getting in, everything changes. You know, right now the one seed in the AFC playoffs is the Denver Broncos. And Denver going into the weekend, you know, they haven't won a playoff game in like 9 years. Then you've got New England, who came in as the two seed. Now they've overtaken Denver with 10 wins, with a win over the Bengals. We'll get to them in a second. But the Patriots haven't won a playoff game in like 8 years. You know, the three seed in the AFC playoffs coming into this game was the Colts, who hadn't won a playoff game in 7 years. So the changing of the guard is happening. The Bills are taking on a little water and leaking some oil right now. But if you look at it, the Chiefs play the Cowboys next week. You know, based on the way they've scratched and clawed against the Eagles today, I mean, that's not a pushover. They have the Texans, who are playing the best defense in the league. Anybody not named Denver? The Broncos just beat the Chiefs and gave them problems. They get the Chargers, who are banged up. The Titans, the Raiders are terrible. They do play the Broncos again. So there's enough on that schedule where they're going to lose again, very likely. And you may lose twice. And that's why you just could not afford to lose this game today. And they didn't. They pulled it off. Another game that I thought was really important for a longtime contender and kind of a heavyweight to prove that they're going to be okay. Also needing overtime to win, the Detroit Lions taking on the New York Giants. This was a fun game. The Lions scored a long touchdown to Wandell Robinson of 40 yards on a kind of a flea flicker design, double pass, Jameis Winston flipping his hips, looking athletic behind the line of scrimmage. Then speaking of athletic, Jameis Winston caught a touchdown pass in this game for 11 yards where, or I should say for it was longer than that. It was 33-yard catch and run where he, you know, made a guy basically comes back to the ball, then makes a guy miss, then runs through a tackle. It was pretty crazy. But in the end, it was the Lions in overtime thanks to Jahmyr Gibbs just going nuts. Ran for 219, caught 11 balls on 12 targets, all-purpose over 260 for Gibbs in this game. Goff bounced back 279-2. Amon-Ra St. Brown, 9 for 150 and a touchdown. Just a massive day for the Lions stars at home.
This was one of the games where the underdog team, one of those teams that's, you know, got even worse records than Washington does right now, seemed to be in position to maybe pull off an upset. And I think in every case, they all fell short, as those teams tend to do. Yeah, I mean, the Lions again, it's interesting. Like, Sam Laporta gets hurt. He hasn't played the last two games, and their offense hasn't looked nearly as good as it did when they played Washington in week 10. And, you know, look, the Giants have a really good pass rush and all that. But, they haven't looked the same. Jahmyr Gibbs is unbelievable. But the Lions were very fortunate to pull this off. And, look, in terms of the Giants, another team that Washington's going to have to face down the line, they don't have, Jameis isn't a real third string quarterback, so that's not fair, but they don't have their starting running back. They don't have their top receiver, and yet, they're still scratching and clawing and all that. Not to mention their coaches got fired. So, kudos to the Giants for keeping it close, but ultimately the Lions got this done. And both the Lions and the Chiefs, oddly, it feels like if you told me that was the Super Bowl, I'd be like, cool. And yet right now, neither one of them are even in the playoffs. So they both have work to do, but they had to win today.
Yeah, they totally did. And to that point on the Giants, now they're playing. So overtime against Detroit in a game that it looked like they were going to win, by the way. I mean, the Lions were down 27-17 with 11 minutes to go before tying this game and sending it to overtime. They had the Packers up 7 in the fourth quarter on Green Bay. It looked like they were dead to rights last week. They lose that game. Go back a week before that, they had the Bears by 10 points in the second half, led them in the fourth quarter. So if you want to say inexplicably that they've lost all three of those games, I mean, the chances of losing each of those games, just like the Denver game that they lost this year, the Dallas game that they lost this year, I mean, it could look very, very different if they could hang on and win a couple of these. But I love how hard they're playing. I like kind of what they're doing offensively. Mike Kafka, their interim coach, who's designing that offense, deserves credit. Jameis throws for 360 today. They had the two really impressive trick plays. They ran enough plays to run it 34 times. People always talk about wanting more runs. Well, you know how you run the ball a bunch is you run a lot of plays. They ran 77 plays today, so they're able to give it to Tracy 20 times, Singletary 15 times. They had 517 yards of offense in this game on Detroit's defense. And I know the Lions are banged up, but they're starting to show, I think, some holes that would worry me if I was a Lions fan over the last couple of weeks. When you see the way that they need overtime against the Giants, they can't move the ball against the Eagles. I know they absolutely obliterated Washington, but that's the only game where they've looked like that in the last three. They lost to the Vikings, they lost to the Eagles, and then in this game against the Giants, you need the fourth quarter rally and the comeback to win, but it was a big one. Stay in that division for a second. The Green Bay Packers got a pretty impressive win, 23-6 at home over Minnesota. It was just kind of death by paper cut. Like, it was a chokehold in the middle of the cage, and eventually the Vikings tapped out. Jordan Love, kind of pedestrian, 14 of 21 for a $139. What I liked about this game is they didn't have Josh Jacobs, and it didn't really change their plan. 28 for 107 from Wilson, who scored two touchdowns on the ground. Chris Brooks, their number two back in the game, had 8 carries for over 20 yards. And Christian Watson hit a couple of things middle of the field, but nothing down the field. It was not a particularly impressive offensive performance for the Pack. I think they were held sub 290 yards, about 4.5 per play. But their defense looked like it did in the first couple of weeks, Ben. Remember when they shoved it on Detroit? They completely eviscerated Washington. That defensive performance today reminded me of that. 3.3 yards per play against the Vikings. They picked off McCarthy twice. They held him to 87 yards passing.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Black Friday? More like Black Friday, yay! Shop the DSW Black Friday sale and take 30% off almost all the shoes, accessories, and giftable goodies we've got at DSW.com. Plus 30% off just about every regular price item at your DSW store. Score shoes that get you and everyone on your list at prices that get your budget. So carpe the deal. Head to Designer Shoe Warehouse and get that gift list done. DSW, let us surprise you.
On the job, every minute counts. That's why Lowe's now has ProBlock Quick Dry Primer, expertly manufactured by Sherwin-Williams. Engineered for pros to dry fast and go on smooth for virtually flawless results that keep your job moving. It's available in oil and water-based, and getting it is easy. Order online by 2 p.m. and get free same-day delivery right to your job site. Lowe's, we help, you save. Orders placed after 2 p.m. will be delivered next day. Valid in select zip codes. Subject to driver availability. More terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here. Wishing you a very happy half-off holiday, because right now Mint Mobile is offering you the gift of 50% off unlimited. To be clear, that's half price, not half the service. If Mint is still premium unlimited wireless for a great price, so that means a half day. Yeah, give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3 month plan, equivalent to $15 per month. Required new customer offer for first 3 months only. Speed slow after 35 gigabytes if network's busy. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
Yeah, look, I mean, when we go back and do the autopsy of this season, I think one of the big questions that people are going to look at is that the Vikings did not franchise tag Sam Darnold. And I understand why they didn't, because they spent a first round pick on JJ McCarthy and believe in him. And I'm sure they still do long term. But when you were a team that was as close as they were to making the Super Bowl, I don't mean, you know, they didn't get that close in the playoffs. Another certain team got further than them. But, you know, the regular season record they had, the pieces they had coming back, and unfortunately for them, J.J. McCarthy has looked the way rookie quarterbacks often do. So absolutely the Packers looked a lot better, but this has been an ongoing trend for the Vikings, even with, you know, Justin Jefferson and some of the other pieces they have on offense. They are just not remotely clicking at the moment. So, and it's not like Kevin O'Connell suddenly forgot how to run offense, right? So give Green Bay a lot of credit for sure. I mean, they win without some of the pieces they have, and Jordan Love was banged up as well. Great, good for them. But at the same time, the Vikings to me are just, oh man, I'd be so crushed. Like, we know here that the people are crushed because of what Washington is at right now. I think Minnesota's got to feel kind of the same, right? Because, I mean, if we're being realistic, they were a better team than Washington was last year. They didn't get further, but just all the pieces in play and not having the quarterback situated is brutal. By the way, Grant, I saw this stat. Let me just pull this up here for my guy, Danny Heifetz with the Ringer. McCarthy, since 2000, he ranks right now 851st out of 852 quarterbacks in EPA per dropback since 2000, according to True Media. The only quarterback worse is Jamarcus Russell. So, small sample size relatively for McCarthy, but that's just to show kind of where he's at right now.
I saw this isn't even probably funny, but I did see a split screen that was kind of witty, if not inappropriate, online today, where somebody said purple savior versus purple drink. And it combined like those two guys. And it was like their comparisons through a half dozen games in their career. We're doing something a little different today. Again, take command, no Commanders game. Wanted to get you guys an episode for your commutes on Monday. We're going through a bunch of the important games on Sunday. And then we are going to talk Commanders with Ben Stanley coming up next segment. So make sure you stay tuned for that. Look, the jury is not returned yet. It's too early, but it does not look good on J.J. McCarthy at all, especially when you consider, you know, what Cousins and what Darnold and what Nick Mullins and what Josh Dobbs and like whatever other quarterback has basically been in there with Kevin O'Connell and these weapons, they've moved the ball. I mean, that really has never been an issue. One more NFC North team, and it's actually the team leading the division right now, Ben. The Bears hosted the Steelers at Soldier Field and got a 31-28 win. This was an ultra-entertaining game. Caleb Williams missed a ton of throws. He also had one of the worst individual plays at the quarterback position I've seen all year. I don't mean to kill Caleb, but I mean, he kind of drifted into the end zone with T.J. Watt chasing him down, holds onto the ball, Watt grabs him, then just drops the ball in the end zone. I don't understand what he was thinking. It's a touchdown for the Steelers who pounce on it. But he did end up throwing three touchdowns, and I give him credit. Like, nobody has really had the ability to respond to bad this year, team-wise, individually. Like Caleb Williams, it's an important skill. It's how they come back to win in the fourth quarter every single week. In this game, they only, you know, trailed by seven early. It was in the second quarter at 21-14. They went to halftime down 21-27. They took their first lead in the third quarter on a second touchdown catch of the day from DJ Moore, 25 yards. But Ben Johnson's got this team now 8-3, their best start in, I think I saw something like since 2018, maybe seven, 8 years, seasons of football since they've been 8-3. And going into this game, I thought they had to win this one or they wouldn't make the playoffs, as silly as that sounds, because you've got the Lions and the Packers nipping at your heels. Green Bay 7-3-1 is basically, you know, a game and a half behind them. The Lions at 7-4, one game behind them. And Chicago's schedule is about to get really hard, Ben. Here's their schedule. They've got the Eagles, the Packers, the Browns is a step down, then the Packers again, San Francisco, and Detroit to close things out. So they're playing 5 playoff teams in their final six games with a matchup with the Browns. So I felt like today was a got-to-have-it game for them. And now their chances of making the playoffs analytically skyrocket up into the, you know, above 60%.
Yeah, it continues to be unreal how their season is mirroring Washington's season from last year. And, it, the field goal by the Washington's new kicker that helped the Bears win that game has started Washington's losing streak. And the Bears, you know, they keep finding ways. I mean, good, you know, kudos to Ben Johnson for, you know, same. I don't want to say it's in the same way, but similar to the way we complimented Dan Quinn last year for, you know, turning it around pretty quickly. Ben Johnson's got a lot of swagger to him, and obviously he can call a good offense. If the Bears are hosting a home game in the playoffs, I'm going to feel pretty, I don't wager anymore, but if I did, or if I do some sort of like office pool type thing, I'd feel pretty happy taking the points, presumably, and whoever they're playing, because I don't know if I still trust them. And
like those next a few Green games, like Bay you said, with or the schedule, Detroit at Soldier Field, or someone who sneaks in like a San Francisco or whatever.
Yeah, right. Exactly. So, I'll be curious to see, you know, how they do in these next few games. Maybe that changes my tune. By the way, a shout out to our former friend here, Montez Sweat, 2 sacks and a forced fumble in the win. And, that's why they paid that guy. It's, you know, it's an interesting, you know, we all understand why Washington traded him. And, you know, because they were in this flux and like they didn't quite know what they were going to be at, and they didn't want to have to pay him. And they got a good pick for him. But at the same time, you know, he has not been like overly dominant with the Bears, but today was an example, at least, of why you need a guy like that and why you pay a guy like that.
Yeah, he had 6 sacks in 9 games the season they acquired him, if you remember. He had a big impact. Last year, just 5.5 sacks. I know that's not the only way to look at the season, but if you look at TFLs and some of the other metrics, nothing like his peak with Washington. And then this year has been a little more of the same, but he's up to 7.5 sacks, as you said, and he had a huge game, I thought, for Chicago in this one. I'm actually with you. Like, I still would bet on Detroit to win that division, frankly. And I think Green Bay is actually the team that has, I would imagine, the best odds to do so. I just don't love the way they've played, really, since the first few weeks of the year. But they still play Chicago twice. They're above Detroit even in the standings. Remember, they have the current tiebreaker over the Lions as well. So they're in the best spot in that regard. A couple other games today I want to hit, and we'll come back and do the Commanders after this on Take Command. Ben Standing hanging out with me. Grant Paulson just putting something in your feeds as you get your week started, getting ready to watch some football and eat some turkey for Thanksgiving on a short week with a lot of good football coming up. I am unimpressed by the Ravens. I know they keep winning, and they are going to make the playoffs probably, and they're almost certainly going to win their division, getting to 6-5 now. They have won 5 straight games since their bye week. Remember, they went into the bye 1-5. They've come out, and they're 5-0. They've done everything everyone kind of said they would, but it hasn't been pretty. Last week, they survive and come back to beat Cleveland as Shador's going 4-16. This week, they couldn't do anything early. It took almost till halftime to even get on the board. They end up beating the bad Jets team that can't win, that's in tank mode, 23-10. The Vikings win was close, but more impressive. I guess they've had the one legitimate, really strong performance against the Dolphins, and they did a nice job with a backup quarterback-led win against the Bears. But the last 3 weeks specifically, it's kind of been pretty pedestrian for me. Doesn't really matter, though. When you look at the standings right now in the AFC North, Pittsburgh is now tied with the Ravens at 6-5 straight up in the standings. And, of course, it's Baltimore who's listed ahead of Pittsburgh because of some tiebreakers. Those two teams play two times coming up in 2 weeks and then in week 18.
Yeah, I'm with you. That game was on locally, and I had it on at points in the background. And at one point I started thinking to myself, boy, you know, we keep dumping on Washington for what they are unable to do with, you know, with missing a bunch of guys on offense. And I was like, man, it's not like the Ravens are exactly crushing it right now with what they're doing on offense. And Lamar Jackson's playing for them. You know, they have Derrick Henry. They have Zay Flowers. So, yes, they have not looked particularly impressive. Their defense was hurt, was pretty poor most of the season. I know Kyle Hamilton got hurt in the game. I'm not sure what his status was. Hopefully it's not a big deal for their sake. But, yeah, I'm not overly impressed by the Ravens. And, look, based on that, if they make the playoffs, that probably means they'll probably go to the Super Bowl this year because nobody will be picking them. But I'm not overly impressed with what I've seen from them either.
It's one of those things where, like you were just saying with the Bears, they get in, but you can't really see them going deep. Because they have an MVP caliber quarterback year in and year out in Lamar Jackson, I wouldn't maybe say the same thing, but it feels that way. Like Baltimore this week playing against Kansas City or Buffalo or even the new wing of the AFC playoff field, like an Indianapolis or a Denver or something, I would not be picking them to win the way they're playing. Another team in that new wing is the New England Patriots. They beat the Bengals 26-20. They came back from down 10-0. This was a really interesting game, actually. The Patriots get to 10-2. They have the best record in the NFL, still haven't had their bye. Obviously, everybody talks about their Charmin soft schedule, and it absolutely has been. They're a lot like Washington from a year ago, I think. Now, they have played two pretty tough games, and they've won them both with Buffalo and with Tampa Bay. But here's one thing I'll say. What people don't really talk about when they dismiss either the team or Drake May, I saw a stat this week where they've had the sixth hardest strength of schedule as an offense against defenses this year. So what, you know, they're doing from a Josh McDaniels standpoint, Drake May, Trevion Henderson, Stephon Diggs, like those guys are dealing with good defenses. They didn't this week. The Bengals defense is actually putrid, and you would have known it. May came out. He missed first two drives. He missed everything he was throwing, including a bad pick six, middle of the field, like the kind of throw he hasn't really made many of all year long. Geno Stone returns it for a 32-yard touchdown. So they're down 10-0. And I was really curious to see how he'd respond on the road because it was an ugly start. And he was outstanding the rest of the way, and they really just started to throw middle of the field to tight ends. Hunter Henry had a huge game, 7-115, touchdown. Austin Hooper, the number two tight end, had 40 yards as well. Stephon Diggs and the receivers were much more quiet on the outside. They gave it to Trevion Henderson 18 times for 66 yards. I think a lot of people wanted to know after the last couple of weeks with Ramondre Stevenson out and Henderson taking off, you know, would Henderson still carry the mail? And he definitely did. May ended up throwing for 294, one touchdown, one pick. So a much more average performance than we've been seeing for him, but a good response. And after being down 10-0, they outscored the Bengals the rest of the way, 26-10. They also lost three O-linemen to injuries in this game, including their left tackle, Will Campbell, who protected Jaden Daniels' blindside at LSU in his final year with the Tigers. He got carted off, looked like a pretty serious injury.
Yeah, you know, I've had this argument with the world, sometimes with myself, over this notion that Washington was all in this offseason based on their moves. And I've quibbled with that significantly by saying, I don't think that's what happened. I think the trades for Tunsil and Debo, and, you know, it was about leveling up the talent level that last year they just overachieved. I think, you know, they played well, but they overachieved. And this was about helping them out in some key areas. But it's not like they didn't do a ton beyond that. I mean, you know, like Javon Kinlaw, but not tons. New England, they went all in. It's just that they were such a bad team that, like, people did not view it in such ways. If you look at the pieces that they added this offseason, you know, Stephon Diggs has turned out to be a huge help for Drake May. You know, Milton Williams was a huge signing this season, you know, coming off the Eagles Super Bowl win, Harold Landry, Carlton Davis. You know, we can go down the list of guys that they brought in on top of, you know, some good draft picks. You mentioned Will Campbell's had a pretty good year. Hopefully he's going to be okay. And then, you know, Mike Vrabel, obviously a huge difference as well. You know, it always felt bizarre that the Titans moved on from him the way they did, but obviously that organization has clearly has some problems. What a fit for New England, a former Patriot, brings that hard nose attitude, and that's helped, you know, change them dramatically as well. Whether, again, do I view them as a team that can really do something in the playoffs? You know, it's always hard to say when the team has gone, has not been in that spot. You know, there was a team who was in the, who had not been in that spot in some years and made it all the way to the NFC Championship game last year. So I'm not going to dismiss it. Drake May is playing very, very well. Travion Henderson, I mean, as a guy who has been fantasy, I was super annoyed that they got the ball to the one at one point and they gave three carries to other running backs and nobody got in, but I'll save that for myself. Yeah, I mean, they're an interesting team. No doubt they're really good defensively against the run. Today was the rare day where they weren't particularly strong. So, you know, they've got some peace there as well. If they can hold on here down the stretch, get win the division, you know, get a high seed, maybe that helps propel them to a deeper run. But, I'm going to hold out on forecasting them to have a deep run. But at the same time, they've put themselves in a position, and I think a lot of their moves this offseason have really paid off.
Well, I'll say this, too, about the Patriots. McDaniels has been awesome. And I don't think he'll get another head coaching shot. I can just speak for myself. I would not give him one. I mean, it has gone up in flames multiple times for him. Yes. And oftentimes, I don't just mean that, like, you don't win. I mean, like, everyone in the building is mad at him, and it's just kind of a nightmare. So if that is the case, then you could potentially, if you're Mike Vrabel, just have him as your long-term guy, that almost like a Spags to Andy Reid that covers half of a building you don't have to worry about. But they get guys naked open occasionally and did in the red zone on a couple of opportunities for touchdowns today. And I just think McDaniels deserves credit for what's happened with Drake May.
So I was going to say, somebody needs McDaniel to stop trying to be this generation's Norv Turner. Be a coordinator. Stop trying to be a coach. It's not your thing. Do a good job with this. I mean, look, honestly, if you can be the offensive coordinator for New England to win multiple Super Bowls, but with different head coaches, you're going to get a lot of credit for that. It's not, I mean, there's no Tom Brady here. There's no Bill Belichick. Even if Drake May goes on to have a Hall of Fame career, you were the guy who was there at the start of this. So stay there, do this thing. You're beloved in New England. Don't try to
look,
chase
there,
it.
There is a real case statistically. I won't sit here and make it for May as an MVP. He's plus 125. He's the favorite right now at FanDuel. But Stafford's plus 150. And to me, that's the value. This is going to be like a lifetime achievement award, I think, when everyone sits down and casts their ballots. As long as the Rams don't either, A, take a big step back, or Stafford doesn't throw up on himself. And really, that's not even an option. I think maybe it would be more of an injury or the back flares up or something. His numbers are ridiculous. We're going to see him play a good Bucs team on Sunday Night Football. I think it is tonight. But it's another national spotlight. He's been piling up 3, 4, 5 touchdown games. Nobody's on a heater like he is right now. And I know the headlines and the talking points, because May's in year two, it's kind of like he's the new guy in the cool kid club. We saw that with Jaden last year. Matt Stafford's got 27 touchdowns and 2 picks for a team that's 8-2 and in first place right now. That to me should be the odds on favorite for the MVP award at this moment. Not to say May's not also deserving and doesn't do stuff with his feet as well, but that Rams team, man, after their win over Seattle last week, they're in a really good spot to win the West. If they do, I don't know how Stafford wouldn't win the MVP award.
Can I just say that, like, listening to you discuss it, you mentioned Stafford, who's had a very good year and worthy of that discussion, if not winning it ultimately, if things keep playing out. But no Josh Allen, no Mahomes, no Lamar Jackson. You know, I think Jaden Daniels, I'm not saying he should have won an MVP last year, but I think he actually should have gotten a lot more consideration than he did. And I think this year is further validating that. But if he was in this year when last year, when it was none of those obvious guys, like those guys just had the lead from the start and nobody could catch them. I wonder what would have happened this year, having seen what he did. But yes, Drake May's in position. And he maybe only has one guy to beat, like you said, if they can keep this up. So we'll see. I mean, look, if the Bills rattle off a bunch of wins here down the stretch, or, I don't know who else maybe would realistically be in the mix. But, those are the two guys right now. I think you're right. That make the most sense for winning this thing.
Couple of other notable games here. The 4 o'clock window. How about the Dallas Cowboys? They were down 21-0. To the Philadelphia Eagles. I jumped on, just looked at the app. What could I get the Cowboys at? And they were plus 18.5, I think it was, when I logged in. at one point. And I was like, I'm not bothering with this. I was stupid. They scored 24 unanswered. A 72-yard drive culminating in the second quarter with a touchdown to George Pickens before halftime, 21-7. And then they go 89 yards in the third quarter for a touchdown on a 4-yard pass from Prescott. Then they get a big throw to Pickens and an 8-yard run and dive from Prescott into the end zone to tie the game with 11.5 to go. And then Brandon Aubrey hit the game winner from 42 yards to win the thing at the horn. Well, you'll notice it's not like that was just like all in the fourth quarter. It was over a long period of time. The Eagles went touchdown, 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 drives of 50, 61, and 76. Here's what they did the rest of the day on offense against the Dallas defense, the maligned Cowboys defense, which has been way better the last couple of weeks after some of the trades they made. Three and out, one play to end the half, took a kneel down. Third quarter, three and out, minus 5 yards, six plays, 18 yards, three and out for 7 yards, punt, punt, punt in the third. Then in the fourth quarter, 7 for 45, but they missed a field goal. It was long. Then 6 for 43, they lose a fumble from Saquon. Then they muff a punt inside their own red zone to give the Cowboys the ball back. And then they go 5 plays, 22 yards, and punt. So they go touchdown, 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 punt, halftime, punt, 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 missed field goal, fumble, punt. Just a disaster. I'm sure A.J. Brown's social media feed will be must-see this week.
Well, hey, look, he did get in the end zone. He was one guy that had a pretty good day. What a
he went
weird
8 for 110 and a score.
Yeah. No, he did some good things, but like you said, it just changed dramatically in the second half. You know, the Eagles defense prior to this second half at least had looked unbelievably dominant the last few games, to the point where it's like, man, even if their offense doesn't quite get going the way it did last year, it's going to be hard to beat them. And maybe that's ultimately still the case. They just have too much on offense to not think they can turn this around to some degree. But we are pretty deep into the season. Jalen Hurts is such a weird quarterback. I mean, he just won a Super Bowl. He did all the things you have to do. And yet it still feels like nobody wants to really trust him. And I don't quite blame people. When they won the game earlier this year without completing a pass in the second half, you're just like, what is going on here? And I do feel like, right, you tell me if I'm wrong, like the subtext with all the A.J. Brown stuff is Jalen Hurts is just not my guy. And, it does feel like their offensive line, which has been such the strength of this team for so long, has started to fall off a bit, whether it's because of some retirements or injuries or what have you. And I think that's caused a lot of problems. Saquon has not looked the same at all this year, to say the least. So I think there's some of that there. So I'm not ruling them out. And they're probably, I would argue, still the favorite in the NFC right now. But yeah, what is this? If you can't move the ball consistently enough, I mean, fine, they had a good first half, but to do what they did down the stretch, like you just rattled off there with those drives against a Dallas defense that has been pretty brutal for most of this season, that is tough. George Pickens is going to get his. I get that. That's one thing. But yeah, to come up that short on offense over their last X amount of drives is a bad look. And they've just been wildly inconsistent. So like I said, I pencil them in as like the favorite right now, but it definitely doesn't feel like it did a year ago.
Yeah, I get that. The Falcons snapped a 5-game losing streak. Kirk Cousins started today. They beat a bad Saints team 24-10. This was more bad New Orleans, I think, than good Atlanta. Was happy for Cousins, though, who played pretty sharp football in a rare start. He'll get the call the rest of the way with Michael Penix, unfortunately, hurt. Cousins goes for 200 yards, 2 touchdowns. Did throw a pick six on a ball that bounced off of Kyle Pitts' hands, who dropped 3 passes in the game. But overall, for Atlanta at 4-7, you just needed to get the Wolves away from the doors, and they finally did. Raheem Morris was, calls for his job this week. Their offensive coordinator, Zach Robinson, same thing. They had never really gone up under center this season. They had 3 plays out of 13 personnel all year, weeks 1 through 11. Today, 28 of their first 48 plays, 58%, highest by any team since 2016 in 13 personnel with 3 tight ends under center, and it really worked out for them. They get the Jets next week. The Jaguars got an overtime win. How about 3 overtime games today, by the way? 27-24 over Arizona. Here's what I got to admit. I got to just get off of Trevor Lawrence. You know, and I've never been a big backer, like a huge fan, but I always feel like, he's probably better than people think. He's not some, you know, jag or whatever. This guy is just the epitome of average. Three picks today. He did everything he could to lose that football game. Ends up going for 256 and three in the win, though. And as I said, it took overtime. But they were up 7-0 right out off the jump, 97-yard drive. And you'd think, okay, they're going to roll against Arizona. They end up getting to play against a third-string quarterback for part of this game and needing overtime. It was just – Jacksonville's like the least impressive 7-4 that you're going to find for me.
Yeah, totally. I mean, nothing they do is overly impressive. You know, it just hasn't worked on offense.
Did you see the shot of Liam Cohen, by the way, after the – I think it was the – I don't know if it was the first, the second, or the third, which is never good. I think it was the second pick from Lawrence. Liam Cohen on the sideline, they panned to him, which is never good. And he's literally going like, "How? What did you see? Like, what is going on?" Like, he has to be so annoyed at this point.
Yeah, no doubt. No, they're another team. If they were to somehow make the playoffs, and I think they're in the position right now, right, that they would be a wild card team. It would be hard to get overly excited. I mean, they have more pieces on offense than shows. I mean, Brian Thomas has had a down year off a great rookie year. He was hurt today. You know, they're only just getting Jacoby Myers kind of worked into their system. But yeah, Lawrence is wildly up and down. They do have some good playmakers on defense. I think that might be their hope if they're going to pull off some upsets down the stretch. But yeah, wildly inconsistent to say the least.
They are the sixth seed out of seven teams. So you got 3-7-4 wild cards right now. The Chargers, the Jaguars, and the Bills. Steelers, 6-5, have fallen out of the playoffs for now. The Texans, who are hard charging at 6-5, are still out. And the Chiefs, despite the win today at 6-5, are still out of the playoffs. But, I mean, as of right now, I would bet on Kansas City, maybe even Houston, both getting in. The Chargers and the Jaguars would be the two that could fall out. But today was really, really big for Jacksonville. And then the last one, you know, it was funny because one of the biggest stories of the week was in a game where 2-2-8 teams were playing, Browns, Raiders in Vegas. Shedeur Sanders, there was enough good here, I think, that, you know, you're going to be able to find whatever you want in this performance. Like, there's a bad interception. He only took one sack, which was huge. There's some misses, whatever. But I always say with a young debuting quarterback, like, show me some good. He hits on a deep home run ball, 52 yards, which has been missing from this offense. That was beautiful. His first ever touchdown pass was a screen that went for a 66-yard touchdown. So he ended up throwing for 209. The over-under on FanDuel was like 153 and a hook or something. But he was 11 for 20, touchdown and a pick. That really wasn't the story. That's what everyone will be talking about on the Shouty shows all week. He was fine. He did enough. You give him another opportunity, I'll be curious to see what he looks like against, you know, a non-2-8 team and see if he can stack some pennies here and maybe overtake Dylan Gabriel if he gets an opportunity to as the starter. But the story was the Browns' defense. I mean, Myles Garrett had three more sacks, so he's got 13 in four games. He's got 18 on the year. Ben, he is only five sacks away with six games to play from the all-time single-season sack record. Like, he's going to obliterate it at this point. And as a team in this game, they had 3.5, 4, 7, 8. They had 10 sacks, I think. I'm counting quickly here. Maybe 11. Geno Smith's just a statue back there getting destroyed. But good win for the Browns and fun storyline with Shedeur. I thought putting some decent things on tape. They went 3-for-12 on third down. They averaged 5.5 yards per play. They only ran 48 plays. He only completed 11 passes. I'm not sitting here telling you he was great. But I think a lot of people thought it would be a sack fest with three picks. And, you know, he threw one interception and he threw for a couple hundred yards.
Yeah, the Raiders were a popular fantasy defense to pick up this week because of not because of what they do, because of the worries at what the Browns would do. And, you know, you mentioned the 69-yard screen pass was all Yak for the touchdown. The tight end Harold Fannin had a couple of nice plays where it was also short pass turned into a longer play because of some Yak. All that, but and also the Raiders are just awful. I mean, the one, you know, one time this season we saw Washington's offense really looked explosive, even without Jaden Daniels was against that team. All that said, you know, to me, in a situation like this for a rookie, you just want to see, does he look like he belongs? Does he show confidence when he's out there? Does he look, you know, does not get rattled? Clearly this kid has confidence. I don't think we had to worry about that too much, but you know, you never know until you see them really play. And, you know, he kept them, you know, he didn't make the terrible mistakes. He looked the part, like I said, and, you know, we'll see what happens when they're playing a team that is not as dreadful as the Raiders, but he did what he had to do today, got the ball to his playmakers, and you know, they took over from there. So, you know, kudos to him on that. I mean, you said the shouty shows. Talk about a topic I could not want to hear less about. The constant Ishidore great or the worst thing ever. Oh, my Lord, what a terrible topic.
Right. There will be so many pixels on the fifth round pick who completed 11 passes this week, you know, and it's just like, are we sure we want to do this? But we'll allow them to do just that. By the way, the today, as far as all the games that have been played with two to go, Sunday Night Football, Monday Night Football, as we record this, Jahmyr Gibbs with 11 catches out of the backfield, your leader in catches in the NFL in Week 12. Michael Wilson, who caught 15 balls last week, caught another 10 this week. He's the only other guy in double digits for catches. As far as rushing yards, Jahmyr Gibbs, 219, led the way. James Cook, 116 for him in his start, and then Emmanuel Wilson had 107. So did Chase Brown for the Bengals. Those two guys, both over 100. Kareem Hunt was the only other guy over 100. As far as passing leaders in the NFL, you had three guys go for 350. Jameis Winston, 366. Dak Prescott, 354. And Patrick Mahomes, 352 in their games. All right, let's come back with Ben Standick. He actually covers the Commanders, and you guys like hearing about the Commanders on Take Command. This is a little special bi-week breakdown of all the games that maybe you caught on Red Zone. But let's talk Commanders and get ready for the Broncos next on Take Command.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Big deal brands are on sale right now at Designer Shoe Warehouse. Save up to 25% on select styles from the brands on everyone's list, like Nike, Adidas, New Balance, Crocs, Reebok, and more. Because the only thing we love more than dropping a name is dropping a price. You don't want to miss this one. These brands are almost never on sale. So shop the DSW Holiday Name Drop Sale today at your DSW store or DSW.com.
On the job, every minute counts. That's why Lowe's now has ProBlock Quick Dry Primer, expertly manufactured by Sherwin-Williams. Engineered for pros to dry fast and go on smooth for virtually flawless results that keep your job moving. It's available in oil and water-based, and getting it is easy. Order online by 2 p.m. and get free same-day delivery right to your job site. Lowe's, we help you save. Orders placed after 2 p.m. will be delivered next day. Valid in select zip codes. Subject to driver availability. More terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here. Wishing you a very happy half-off holiday, because right now Mint Mobile is offering you the gift of 50% off unlimited. To be clear, that's half price, not half the service. And Mint is still premium unlimited wireless for a great price. So, that means a half day. Yeah. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3 month plan equivalent to $15 per month required. New customer offer for first 3 months only. Speed slow after 35 gigabytes of networks busy. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
This episode is brought to you by Jack Daniels. Jack Daniels and music are made for each other. They share a rhythm in the craft of making something timeless while being a part of legendary nights. From backyard jams to sold out arenas, there's a song in every toast. Please drink responsibly. Responsibility.org. Jack Daniels and Old No. 7 are registered trademarks. Tennessee Whiskey, 40% alcohol by volume. Jack Daniel Distillery, Lynchburg, Tennessee.
With Black Friday savings at the Home Depot, you can get up to $1,400 off, plus get free delivery on select appliances like LG, America's most reliable line of appliances. Check out the newest LG refrigerator with new mini craft ice, straight from the dispenser. Shop Black Friday savings on select LG appliances. Plus, get free delivery now at the Home Depot. Free delivery on appliance purchases of $396 or more. Offer valid 11/5 through 12/3. U.S. only. See store or online for details.
In America, half of every dollar spent on brand medicines goes to entities who don't make them. While middlemen like PBMs and 340B hospitals drive up costs, Biopharma is investing $500 billion in new infrastructure and manufacturing here at home and helping patients buy medicines directly at lower prices. Tell Washington to end middlemen markups and put American patients first. Visit phrma.org/middlemen.
This episode is brought to you by Amazon Prime. Black Friday Game Day on Prime is an epic day of live sports. It all starts at 9 a.m. Eastern with the Capital One Skins game. Then, Black Friday football returns when the Bears take on the Eagles at 3 p.m. And it culminates with the final night of Emirates NBA Cup Group play with Bucks Knicks at 7 p.m. and Mavs Lakers at 10 p.m. Black Friday Game Day, only on Prime.
Meet the computer you can talk to. With Copilot on Windows, working, creating, and collaborating is as easy as talking. Got writer's block? Share your screen with Copilot Vision to help spark inspiration and use Copilot Voice to have a conversation and brainstorm ideas. Or maybe you need some tech help. With Copilot Vision, Copilot sees what you see. Let Copilot talk you through step-by-step guidance so you can master new apps, games, and skills faster. Try now at windows.com/copilot.
Monster Energy. Everybody knows White Monster, Zero Ultra. That's the OG. It kicked off this whole zero sugar energy drink thing. But Ultra is a whole lineup now. You've got Strawberry Dreams, Blue Hawaiian, Sunrise, and Vice Guava. And they all bring the Monster Energy punch. So if you've been living in the white can, branch out. Ultra's got a flavor for every vibe. And every single one is zero sugar. Tap the banner to learn more.
Again, it's Grant Paulson on Take Command. Subscribe, rate, review, download wherever you get your audio. The way this show normally works is on Sundays, we give you a live streamed YouTube show as soon as the game ends that is archived for you on your commute on Monday. Then on Tuesday, you get Logan's film review. And on Thursday, we watch the tape and get you ready for the upcoming game with a preview of the matchup with the opponent. Today, Ben Standing's hanging out with me. You can check him out. Last Man Standing is his Substack. He's done a great job covering the Commanders for many years. So I guess the big question, the elephant in the room is, do we expect any answer or information on Jaden Daniels from Dan Quinn when he speaks Monday at 3:30? Like, what are we going to find out, do you think, and when, about Daniels and whether not only is he going to play against the Broncos, which seems crazy to me that he would, but is he going to play again or soon? Like, what is the deal here?
I think for all the injury wonders we've had this year between Jaden, between Terry McLaurin and some others, this one is, feels like the biggest mystery because we all saw the play unfold. We saw the elbow pop out. A lot of people, went squeamish on it and understandable. And then it was like, okay, cool. He didn't mess up any ligaments and there was no structural damage or things like that. But that still leaves you in this sort of nebulous time frame of 1 to 2 months, who knows? Like, we've all debated, should you play him? Should you not play him? I assume that they want him to go if he can, but there has to be some consideration of maybe, if it's borderline, sitting him. So there is a lot here that's confusing. I think what's also confusing is, they didn't put him on IR. He's already been out now for a couple of games or a couple of weeks. He didn't put him on IR, but at the same time, they haven't said he's definitely going to come back in a certain amount of time, the way they kind of have in the past, was given us some idea. So to me, the range is anywhere from he plays maybe by Miami or the Giants game, or we don't see him again. I don't think either one of those options is completely off the table. So whether Dan Quinn tells us too much, I don't know, but you could tell me Dan Quinn says Jaden's back in 2 weeks, or you could tell me they say, we're not going to take any risks and we'll see him again in the spring.
So, do you feel like he's got to update in some way, or can they kick the can down the road? Like, could he, whether it's Monday or Monday, he could say, hey, we'll know more Wednesday. But whenever he actually answers the question, could he come out and say, hey guys, he's going through the program. We're not going to miss a mark, in this spot, we've got to make sure that We check all of our boxes. And is this when we find something out, or could he just say not right now and push it down the road?
I mean, based on what we've had to deal with so far this year, keep punting it down the road is definitely on the table. I mean, you just said, we won't skip a step. I'm going to bet whether that's on Monday or Wednesday or some point that phrase gets uttered by the head coach. Look, you kindly were on my podcast the other day, and we talked about this and the idea of should he or shouldn't he play. And I think we're all on the same page, which is as long as there's enough runway, as long as there's enough games, I said like three or more games to me would be a good runway. Two is borderline, one not enough to get some momentum to put him out there to try to make some strides, to get some things going, to see what you kind of have, especially if you have the full offense, which if everybody comes back healthy, including McLaurin and Noah Brown and Jaden Daniels, the only guy you wouldn't have from week one would be Austin Eckler, right? So, I mean, knock on wood, nobody else gets hurt. So that might be what you're hoping to see. What does this group actually look like when together? But, he obviously is – his situation is above everything else. I'm fine with him playing if he's not playing through something. If it's even borderline to me, I'm going to sit him. And people can tell me, this is football, you got to play. I get that. I'm not saying he shouldn't play. I'm just saying that I need to hear the doctor say, he's good. There's nothing – we can move on from the elbow. There's nothing else to see here. That's fine. But if there's even I don't know, maybe at 3-8, this is not like a usual situation where, hey, maybe he's borderline, but we need this game. This is not that.
And look, everything I'm about to say, the prerequisite is obviously that he is given a clean bill of health and he's 100% and he's ready to play. But I think he needs to be on the field. I think he's missed too much practice time. He's missed too many games. There was a lot made about how he was playing in the Seattle game, which I think was a one-off. It was not the norm by any mean, but because Kurt Warner broke down the tape and showed a lot of the things that he was struggling with in that game, it became this big narrative and story. I think a lot of that goes away when you're just on the grass and you're playing and your timing's back and you're in the flow of your normal offense. And to me, the longer – and this is not a Jaden Daniels point. This is a quarterback point. It might even just be an anybody point at any position. But I think the worst thing that can happen, especially for young quarterbacks, is to not play. And you see this with veterans too. Like the more time you miss, you come back, there is some rust to knock off. So – if he were to not play again this season, I don't do red shirts, right? I'm not going to go full Herm Edwards on my show, Grant and Danny on the Fan with you, but he's a football player. What do football players do? They play football. If he's healthy, I just think if I hear Cliff Kingsbury say time on task one more time this season, it just means I'm listening to a press conference. And that's what the quarterback needs that. Lock that Terry McLaurin plays against the Broncos. Is that in Sharpie?
Well, no, I'm not putting anything in Sharpie, but based on the number of weeks he's been out, based on the number of weeks he missed the first time with this injury, then he came back, and the fact that he traveled with the team to Spain to do work with the training staff on the field, I think bodes well for positive news on this front that I would kind of guess we hear he'll be ready to go this week. But, based on how this season has gone for him specifically and this team overall, I'm not assuming squat, but I feel like it's better that he could be out there. And so again, something else you and I talked about the other day on my podcast, the Terry McLaurin contract dispute really kind of sort of lit the match, it feels like, for how this season unfolded and just everything kind of go wrong kind of a way. And yet the one game he's played in the last nine also showed how valuable he is to this team. And we can debate whether he's one of the five or 10 best receivers in the league, but for this team and the way they were constructed, his absence has just been a disaster. They just have had nobody else on the outside who could remotely come close. Obviously not having Noah Brown simultaneously hurts, but Noah Brown isn't, Gary Clark to McLaurin's Art Monk or whatever. So, not having Terry has really showed this year. So it would be great. Hopefully it's with Jaden Daniels sooner than later, but just for the entire offense to be able to execute the way they want to be able to have the defenses have to have their safeties back, not everybody crowding the box to try to take away the run game or Zach Ertz to actually have to defend all corners of the field. That's only happening this year if Terry's out there. So hopefully he is. If it's not this week, sooner than later. But yeah, I would. If he made me bet, I kind of feel like I would lean into him playing this week.
Take command, Grant Paulson, Ben Standing hanging out with me. Wanted to drop something into your feeds to kick off the week. We're going to have Tuesday and Thursday episodes with Logan back in the saddle on Take Command this week. We'll end the conversation here. A lot was made over the last few days about Brandon Ayuk headed for divorce in San Francisco. He, of course, got a fat contract, ended the speculation that he would end up in D.C. For people that don't know, his best friend is Jaden Daniels. They have very famously or infamously been on FaceTime calls that everybody's seen multiple times over where either, you know, there's plays being shared in the remember that whole, you know, maybe overblown, I guess, as it were, story in the summer last year. I think there was a video that even made the rounds today that people thought was about Jaden coming back for the Denver game that happened to be from Halloween time when he said he was coming back for Seattle. When he was telling Brandon Ayuk that he'll be back, is Ayuk was buying him a very nice watch, by the way, at a jewelry store, which I need a friend like that, by the way.
Man, I feel like this is where we need to have a conversation with Adam Peters and be like, look, we get it. You like the guys you drafted. And this one, when he's been healthy, obviously he's been one of the better receivers in the league. But if you really are serious about team culture, I think they already like sort of pushed the envelope with when they went from Lattimore and Tunsil and Samuel. I'm not saying that they are bad locker room guys, but they are more of sort of themselves. They're established vets who kind of do what they do. And you cannot tell me that you're serious about culture to then bring in Brandon Ayuk on top of everything else, especially well, knowing. After,
just to that point, for people that don't know how this ended, like his contract has been voided. All the guaranteed money in it. So all the money that he signed for is gone because he has opted out of, according to reports from Diana Rossini and others, like meetings and showing up at the facility and rehab and different things to the point where Kyle Shanahan was answering a question about it this week. And someone's like, are you surprised we got to this point? Are you disappointed? He's like, well, I've been in coaching for 20 years in the NFL and I've never been a part of a contract getting voided. So, yeah, I'm pretty surprised that this is happening. Like, it's hard for this to go this way with a player of this caliber. So you're signing up for – I'm not saying that a guy that has an issue like this is a bad apple everywhere, but he's certainly been deemed one in San Francisco. This is after they chose him over Debo and some of the other guys that they've let walk. I mean, think about – you know, they were choosing between a lot of stars, and they prioritized him, and it ended like this.
Also, he will not have played this year, right? I mean, I can't imagine he's playing for the Niners this year. So he will not have played this entire season after a significant knee injury the year before. So purely from a Russ standpoint, who knows what he'll be like next year. The only justification, and I'm not saying I would do this, the only justification for even considering him would be, I imagine he may take a one-year deal this year to help rehabilitate his status, because I don't know if he signs a multi-year deal, he's not going to sniff any of the money he just lost. And if you're Washington with Debo Samuel going, you know, heading into free agency, is there a world where I say, well, if I can take Ayuk for a relatively good value deal with, you know, and play the money outside, which is where our biggest issue was this year opposite Terry McLaurin when he was out there. Maybe, but even like I said, for me personally, like I'm not gonna get involved. But I, you know, obviously Adam Peters knows Brandon Ayuk as well as anybody. The quarterback will certainly, I assume, vouch for him. So you got to consider all that. But for a multi-year deal, hard pass. For a one-year deal, oh man, you got to tell me, you got to tell me that you really, really, really believe that he's gonna be a good influence on the situation, not just mediocre, like an actually good influence. On the field, off the field, for me to even consider it.
I guess you could look to Dallas with George Pickens going nuts and on pace for close to 1,500 yards to see, you know, a motivated guy who had kind of been run out of a building and what that could look like going in the right direction for a team. Ben, great catching up.
Playing though, yeah. At least Pickens wasn't coming off an injury. But yes, yeah, it's a good comp.
Yeah, no doubt. And don't get me wrong. Yeah, one is major questions about the seriousness of that injury, too. I mean, that's not just a normal ACL. Like, I think that was like all the CLs, right? So, I mean, it's there's a lot he's coming back from. Good kicking it, though. Appreciate you chatting ball with me. Should be a fun week coming up as the Commanders get ready for the Broncos. Primetime standing. We're in a jacket the way we like it at Northwest Stadium. Let's do this thing.
Oh, now I got pressure to put on some nice clothes. Yeah, I'll do it just for you, man. I appreciate you having me on. My first appearance on Take Command. Of course, you know, Logan had too chicken to be here, but I appreciate it all the same.
Last man standing is the Substack. Go check him out there. Logan's back with a Tuesday breakdown of the first 11 weeks. We're going deep into all three phases. And then Thursday, we are previewing a Broncos team that is elite, really, really good on defense, Super Bowl caliber defense. And they're going to give you some chances to stay in the game with how they operate offensively. More on that as the week goes on. This is Take Command.
Rinse takes your laundry and hand delivers it to your door, expertly cleaned and folded, so you could take the time once spent folding and sorting and waiting to finally pursue a whole new version of you. Like tea time you.
Mmm.
Or this tea time you. Or even this tea time you.
So did you hear about Dave?
Or even tea time, tea time, tea time you.
Mmm. So update on Dave.
It's up to you. We'll take the laundry. Rinse. It's time to be great.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
On the job, every minute counts. That's why Lowe's now has ProBlock Quick Dry Primer, expertly manufactured by Sherwin-Williams. Engineered for pros to dry fast and go on smooth for virtually flawless results that keep your job moving. It's available in oil and water-based, and getting it is easy. Order online by 2 p.m. and get free same-day delivery right to your job site. Lowe's, we help you save. Orders placed after 2 p.m. will be delivered next day. Valid in select zip codes. Subject to driver availability. More terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Find new customers on a platform that's here to stay. With TikTok for Business, anything is possible. If you've ever thought about advertising your business on TikTok, now is the time to do it. You can drive more customers to your website, sell products right in the app, and you can even use TikTok's creative tools to easily make content and find creators to help sell your products for you. Find new customers today. Just open your browser, type in getstarted.tiktok.com/tiktokads, and grow your business fast.
You're jamming your favorite song, and while you aren't missing a beat, you could be missing a signal from your body. It's an SOS from your kidneys, and it doesn't sound like music at all. It's silent. High blood pressure, type 2 diabetes, and other risk factors can quietly stress the kidneys, leading to negative impacts on the heart. That's why you should ask your doctor about a simple urine test called UACR. Most miss the signal for hidden kidney disease and related heart risk. You shouldn't. Visit DetectTheSOS.com today to learn more.